Okay, Moru Abaisai, for today's shir, we'll end our discussion about the halachas of the 3 weeks, concluding with the famous question of a cappella. And those that are listening in YU Torah land might have heard a previous shir from a few days ago that I gave to the waiters. In 40 minutes, I was able to get through all the halachas. You guys are a little bit slower in a positive way because we went through the sources more meduyak. This shir will only be on the quote-unquote heter of a cappella, which is quite apropos. For those of you that were in the dining room this morning, you heard this music. Is there really a heter for that? Or maybe there's a heter to listen to music during the 3 weeks anyway. Obviously, when we refer to the 3 weeks, we also refer to Sfiras HaOmer. As we said in our first year, one could argue, based on the tshuva of Rav Avadi Yosef, that one has much more of room to be makel during Sfiras HaOmer, which is not a time of sadness per se, as the famous Ramban tells us. It's a time of great happiness, and that's the Chol HaMoed. Yes, the students of Rabbi Akiva passed away, and therefore we have the Minhuge Avelos during some of the time during Sfiras HaOmer. But as a time, it's not so bad. That's where Rav Avadi Yosef went on the Inyun of Shechianu L'Zman Hazeh. That's not a bad Zman. Good? Got it? Good. There are some sheets there. He didn't do his job, but there's some sheets there. Thank you very much. So, it's way too late. So, let's think about music during the 3 weeks. The first source we skipped, this is what we did already, Rav Avadi Yosef's Tshuva. I want to start off just with something a little bit funny, in rabbi funniness, is that I saw an article that I thought would be on a cappella, but it was not. It was all about the lashon of a cappella. I never knew this. First of all, how do you spell a cappella? It's actually, as I put it on the sheet, correctly spelled is not one word, it's two words, a cappella, and it's actually a word that is not English. Anyone want to guess what it is? Right, it's both Latin and Italian. I don't know. It's Machlokes Wikipedia. It's a original Latin word. Everybody agrees. Does anybody know what the word means? A cappella means in the chapel. In the chapel. This was the original form of music that was allowed. This is really, really interesting. If you want to just go back in history for a moment. But in the 1500s, the churches obviously becoming more and more popular, the institution of Sunday services and things of that nature, there were certain things that were usher. This is really true. There were certain things that were usher in the church. One of them was there always was separate seating between men and women. Can you imagine? And initially, they didn't allow organs in. Organs as in those organs. And they didn't allow that type of music. They had a cappella music. In the chapel, they had a certain type of music which, lahavdil, but was called miyuchad, was called special for the church, where only people just sang without musical accompaniment. Right? Then they realized they had to get more people. I'm sure you've seen some of these movies where, you know, they're singing like crazy with the organ lady that's playing whatever, the piano, whatever it might be. So this person wrote an article saying that don't anybody call it a cappella music. That's awesome. Why? Because he marshals a tshuva from Rav Moshe Feinstein in Yeridei Chelek Beis in Simon Nun Vav, I believe, where he writes that music whose sources are Christian in nature or Avodah Zarah in nature, he writes, should not be played. This is, of course, just a general discussion, which, of course, would take us an entire shir to discuss. We know that many of the music that we have today is actually not Jewish in its form and nature. And I'm not going to lie to you. Obviously, you know that this starts with most prominently Hasidish Nigunim, which a lot of them were originally very much not Jewish Nigunim. They became, and there's all different Hasidish Torah, how that exactly works. Stories about people who became Jewish, or people who became religious, or certainly people who became Jewish. Wait a minute, that's the song we should sing in the pub. You know, like, what's going on here? So we know that, and we know much of the music that we have, including some of, you know, one of the most famous type of music. I was laughing, excuse me for giving you this small tangent, but there's a very funny video. Mordechai Ben David is well known for more than once in the last 20 years quitting the music industry. And one of his chief reasons of doing that is that he can't believe that people start stealing music, right? It used to be a time where they sold something called a CD, right? Used to buy a tape, and that's how they made their money. And what happened was is everybody started copying this. And now, of course, with the form of downloading or just getting it off YouTube and putting it on whatever your new illegal, you know, app is PlayTube or whatever it is. Like, what do you need new music? Like, what do you need it for, right? Or if you're not an Apple subscriber, so you can get free music like crazy, right? Okay, so that's a different Napstar question, whether that's halakhically permissible. So he has a whole YouTube, very, very funny, where he actually got on YouTube once and he said this whole thing. It's usur, please don't do this. You're stealing from my grandchildren's mouths, like a whole thing. And in the background, they started playing one of his famous songs, Yidden. If you remember that song, Yidden, Yidden, Gibtahang, and they start playing it. It's called Genghis Khan. It won Eurovision's top song. So he stole that song from Eurovision and he made it into Yidden, Yidden, which made, you know, a very, very popular song. So, you know, you got to be careful with the consistency of this. I don't know if this is really appropriate. I will, throughout this year, probably be using the word a cappella, but this rabbi said that it is not appropriate word because it means in the chapel music. Okay, fine. And they say that the original edition, he writes, of the Levush actually wrote this, and it was censored, so they took it out. You won't find it in the Levush now. Levush also wrote that music that sources are Christian shouldn't be. So that's just another thing for us to think about. Where does the whole Issa come from? So we already mentioned that the concept of the 3 weeks really calls into play for two things that are most popular, and that is you can't get married and you can't get haircuts. So where did this all come from, that now from no haircuts and no marriage, all of a sudden now we have all these other things, including music? So I think it comes from, originally, about 1682, when the Magen Avraham wrote his work. He wrote, Aval lasot rikudim umachalot shel rishut nagel aser. He says, yeah, the whole wedding thing, if you think about it, so what's the reason why a wedding should be aser? A wedding is such a beautiful Jewish brit. Ein ahava gadol mezu, and during the time where we're commemorating sinas chinam and trying to work on our sinas chinam, or avas chinam, so why should we not get married? That's the highest form. So one possible answer is that it gets our mind off of the avelos of the day. And therefore, we're supposed to be concentrating on other things. Obviously, one is going to argue, okay, so I'm not going to a wedding, so what am I doing now? So instead, I'm going to be doing X, Y, and Z, which I'm not concentrating anyway. So weddings aren't allowed. But says the Magen Avraham, the wedding issue maybe also comes from Rikudim. The dancing, the frivolousness of this, we discussed the Gemara and Brachos about the breaking of the glass. One of the reasons is that we should put ourselves in the right state. As much as it's mutter to dance and it's a mitzvah, you shouldn't get too much out of hand. So maybe the Isser in the Magen Avraham saying is that it's all types of music and dance. Anything, it seems like from the Magen Avraham, the Be'er Heitiv quotes this la'alacha, at maybe it's all forms of music that will get you dancing. Because that's what he's talking about, Rikudim and Machalot. So what can you already argue from based on the Magen Avraham? What can you argue? Anybody listening here? Oh, I'm just getting sure of myself. Yeah, anybody else listening? Yeah, good. Anyone? So what can you infer from the Magen Avraham? The Magen Avraham says, I'll read it again. Aval la'asot rikudim u'machalot shel rishut nagul aser. Yeah? It's aser. And therefore what? Anything that doesn't make you dance, mistamas mutter during the 3 weeks. Right? So, which could mean, according to the Magen Avraham at least, we're still in the 1600s, okay? That which could mean that if a person wanted to make some money during the 3 weeks, 3 weeks is a traditional time that the music producers and the musicians finally get a little rest, unless they found some Sephardic writing to go to or something. So they finally get rest. So they probably don't want to do this, but they wanted to have a concert. So go ahead and have a music concert that doesn't have any fast music. Slow music concerts. And they do this, by the way. They have chazonos concerts. Usually it's not with musical accompaniment. Isn't that what the Magen Avraham seems to be saying? I would assume. The Mishnah Berurah passing this halacha in Siman Tav Tzadik Gimel, which is the same Siman as the Magen Avraham, Aval la'asot rikudim machalot nagu aser kemosha b'shar rikudim machalot shel rishut vada yesh li zahir. Now, another thing which you should have caught as well is that he says shel rishut, which means what? If it will tzorach mitzvah, one should certainly be fair to argue, although I don't see this done at all.
Then that wouldn't be for a wedding.
What? Yeah, right? Yeah. For sure. So one would have to argue that there was another reason why we didn't want you to go ahead and come to the wedding, do the wedding. Again, getting your mind off of the Avelis possibly, or you know that dancing will lead to a non. So you could say this by anything, and maybe that's why it's also you don't see it. So for example, if somebody got married, which is quite possible in Mutter, somebody got married a few days ago, on Sunday, right, Sunday, yeah. When did she got married? The last Sunday. The Schmelzachen. 2 weeks ago. I'm really, really holding. So I missed the wedding. So, right, somebody got married Sunday. 100% mutter to get married Sunday, right? We said? Sunday, what? Sunday morning? Yeah, good. Yeah. So she got married Sunday morning. Somebody. They got married. So now they have Sheva Brachas. Sheva Brachas is true. You're allowed to have Sheva Brachas. It's a mitzvah. It's great. So now you have Sheva Brachas tonight. So normally you're fancy schmancy, you're having your Sheva Brachas, you always have a band at the Sheva Brachas. So it's Lezarech Mitzvah. Is the Magen Avraham saying it's Aser? I don't know. Not so sure. Comes along the Gemara in Sota. The Gemara in Sota in source number 4, Mem Ches Amar Alf says, Mishnah, Mishavasim Sanhedrin Batel Hashir Mibes HaMishtos. When the Sanhedrin was nullified, i.e. also when there was no Beis HaMikdash, there's no Shir in Beis HaMishtos. You're not allowed to sing in the Beis HaMishtos. Shenamar B'Shir Lo Yishte Yayin Paskin La'alachas Shulchan Aruch Simon Tav Kuf Samach. From source number 5, V'chein Gazu Shalol L'Nagin Kli Shir V'chol Minei Zemmer V'chol Mashmiya Kol Shel Shir L'Sameach Bahem. Shulchan Aruch has a blanket iser for you to have music anytime during the year. Wow. What? So he writes, no music anytime during the year. Ever, ever. Thank God we are not Sephardic. We can feel a little bit good about ourselves for a moment. The Haggah says, V'yesh Omrim, Dafka Misha Rugil Bahem. People who are regular to music all the time, Kigon Hamalachim. The noble people, Sha'omde B'sheichlin, the Klei Shir. They wake up, they go to sleep with music all the time. Oh, but Beis HaMishtah. Because that's really what the Gemara was talking about, was Beis HaMishtah. That's what the Torah says. Beis HaMishtah means what? At a party. So if you can come up with a party that's not Lutzorach Mitzvah, okay? It's not a Simcha that's ordinated by Halacha, meaning a wedding, a Bar Mitzvah, something along those lines. What?
Why is Bar Mitzvah?
Ooh. So you said that that is very... What? Oh, Bat Mitzvah. That's okay, I'm not ready for that Bat Mitzvah yet. So, good question. There is a very interesting halacha that true Talmidei Chachamim do not go to a Suda Shel Rishus. They only go to a Suda Mitzvah. So those that want to codify what's a Suda Mitzvah, right? And different svarim, different halachic svarim have tried to codify what exactly is a Suda Mitzvah. So you're correct, there's a famous Shaila, which to us it doesn't really matter, because, you know, if I told you, you know, we're going out to Dougie's tonight, you wouldn't be like, well, is there a Siyum there or not? You'd be like, in, you know, shotgun. So that's a good question. So there are those that question, what is a Bar Mitzvah? What's a Bar Mitzvah? So a Bar Mitzvah, Shabo Bayom, the day of my Bar Mitzvah day, Kuli Alma Lo Pligi, everybody agrees that's a Sudas Mitzvah. Right? The Suda that became an Ozo Torah, what? What's the source? Right, so first of all, the Gemara speaks about that when Mayigamal, when Yaakov or Yitzchak, sorry, Mayigamal, Yitzchak, so when Yitzchak had a Suda, so it says Avram invited everyone from all around the world. So commentators say that was actually a Bar Mitzvah, which is obviously strange, because why did he stop getting nursed upon he was 3 years old? Others say that. So there is great sources that speak about the Bar Mitzvah and the importance of it. Again, in Halacha, to have a before sources that there, you know, such thing as a Bar Mitzvah? No, but it's when he enters the Ol Mitzvahs, and everyone seems to say that that's considered to be a Sudas Mitzvah. It's also very important at Mistam Avelus, whether an Ovel is allowed to go, although that's been misconstrued now. What? Good question. So the question becomes, so that would be a Sudas Mitzvah. Some people taina that maybe it's not a Sudas Mitzvah when it's null babayom. Most everybody, certainly modern Orthodox, don't have their Bar Mitzvah on their Bar Mitzvah day because it's inconvenient. Haredim actually do. Tuesday night is your Bar Mitzvah. You have a Bar Mitzvah on Tuesday night. So Tuesday night is not convenient. You want to do it Sunday night. Sunday is more convenient or whatever. Thursday night, or it's all they do it. So the halacha says that that might not be a Sudas Mitzvah. Comes along with Avad Yosef, for example, and he says, yeah, as long as the Bar Mitzvah boy does his pshetel, which usually he speaks, he gives something over, oh, that's a Sudas Mitzvah. What's the concept over here? The Elia Rabba talks about this idea of the Baracha, Baruch Shem, Atrani, Meotra, Shalzu, and he says the whole concept is that we are making a statement to Father, you see, look at my son, he's getting an Aliyah, or he's laning. He decided to be firm like I'm firm. That's a big simcha. So when he gives a pshetel, it's showing everybody. So many people say that. Famous other idea is during Hanukkah. Is the Suda of Hanukkah, let's say you make a Hanukkah party, is a Hanukkah party called a Sudas Mitzvah? So some want to argue, no, because there's no Chiyuv Suda in Hanukkah. It says you can make a Suda, it's a Sudas Mitzvah. Again, others, like I think Rav Yosef also, the Kama Chaim, I believe, says this as well, as long as Shir of Tishpachos LaHashem, it's considered to be a Sudas Mitzvah. This doesn't apply so much to us anymore because we are not Machmir to only go to Sudas Mitzvahs. Where it is important, obviously, is going to be your 9 days, Siyum, for example, because they are Sudas Mitzvahs. So let's say on the 9 days you have, I've had a few reasons to go to a bris that's during the 9 days. I believe two of them that I went to actually served meat in the morning. It was a wonderful thing. Some poskim say that you shouldn't serve meat at a bris if you're other kids, you never serve meat. Now all of a sudden it's the 9 days, you want to serve meat. Also, sometimes it's shalom bayis / pekuach nefesh issues because your wife will kill you if you serve meat at 9 o'clock in the morning. But I went to such a bris once, which was a little bit weird, the bris. I remember, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I was sitting next to Rabbi Neuberger. And at this bris, they had chicken and deli, and it was a goyis azach, and bagels, right? Because their people didn't want at 9 o'clock in the morning to eat. And, of course, the women for sure didn't want to eat. Except, what did the guy do? It was funny. He had on every table cream cheese and the bagels. So Rabbi Neuberger, did a second take. It was tempty cream cheese. It's the power of cream cheese. It doesn't look right. It doesn't look right. So I told him a funny story. I told him, he said, you want to hear a good story about this? He said, my in Staten Island, so there used to be only, there only was one now. There's like three stores, but there used to be only a pizza store, a famous pizza store in Staten Island. So the pizza store in Staten Island obviously had to not just have pizza, because now everybody wants to go there. So they had also Chinese food there. Except there's power of Chinese food. It happens to be it's not that bad. During the 90s, it's not that bad at all. And they have mixed grill. They have all these different things. So my father-in-law was once at a vort. A frum guy was having a, for his daughter or whatever, who got engaged. And it was at one of the more Haredi shuls, and he catered it, the pizza guy. So it was during the day. So they had lasagnas and baked ziti's and the Chinese food. So some of his Hasidic relatives came, and my father-in-law sees these Hasidic relatives looking, oh my God, our cousin is not even from. They're having milk and meat here. So my father-in-law went up to him, and he says, it's okay. It's power of Chinese food. And they're like, okay, yeah, whatever. Shkatz, get out of our way. I'm like, what is this? See, there's a Mara Sinai, there's a famous shayla about Mara Sinai when it comes to these things. Most people nowadays know that, like Rav Moshe's famous tshuva about putting on the table non-dairy creamer at a wedding. How are you allowed to do that? It's milk. So he says you should put put almonds inside. And then when people see almonds, oh yeah, this is the power of milk. Nowadays, most kashrus agents, they say you don't have to do that anymore. Right? There are some kashrus agents that make sure you actually take out that yucky container of that sets that everybody knows. Somebody say you don't have to do that anymore. Everybody knows that when you bring out milk, it's not real milk, right? When you go to somebody's house and for dessert, the mom's serving ice cream, you don't be like, Schott, Schickse! You know that it's not real ice cream. Come on, stop it. So I don't think that's such an issue. So now back to our thing. So maybe music is only us or in what we call a Beis HaMishnah, which really doesn't apply so much anymore. I tined that maybe if you can find a place that serves drinks, okay, and it has live music, that could be a problem, right? So for example, if there's any, I don't think there would ever be a kosher establishment, but if there was such a thing that was like a house, not for human beings, but let's say for dogs or something like that, and they serve their drinks, and then they had live music one night, that could be a problem according to this Rama. Based on this, Rav Moshe Feinstein has this famous tshuva. Rav Moshe says, yeah, you're right. Really, it should be usher all the year. We really shouldn't listen to music. This is in source number 6, Rav Moshe and Orachaim, Chelik Aleph, Simon Kuf Samach Vav, He says, I really don't think that this should be mutter the entire year. But he writes, nobody's following this. Hayotzim is Pum Ein La'aser Shelo Bebeis Hamishta Ulamisha Ein Ragel Mishum Kemat Kol Rishonim Matirim. Because you're right, everybody's matir except the Rambam's machmir. But then he writes in this bolded part, Aval Vadai Meharoi Lebal Nefesh Lahachmir Ka Rambam. He says, if you want to be a Baal Nefesh, I don't know what you guys consider yourself, right? But you should be a Baal Nefesh. And what? Shkoyach. You should go ahead and follow the halacha, which tells us what? A Baal Nefesh should be machmir in himself and not listen to music the entire year. Aval. However, he gives a heter. What about it? A banquet? What's a banquet? A banquet's, you know, a fundraiser. That they have these, every now, like every yeshiva has to have a fundraiser, and the hospitals, and the this, and that, and the yeshivas. Staka, right, where they're getting money in order to raise money for their tztakas, imu b'chal heter, b'davar mitzvah, ma'achosh ha'sudah ve'asimcha, ain't a mitzvah, it's not a sudah, it's a mitzvah, ma'amish, be'etzem raku la'asuf, ha'adei zahar be'anoshim, to get people to come, l'nadev, to give money to this, that's l'davar mitzvah, and therefore he thinks that that should be mutter. However, b'mei asfira, and during the 3 weeks, yesh la'aser b'zmara bin ma'nai, I think it should be definitely aser. So, one could interpret Rav Moshe as saying, listen, really, I believe that you shouldn't listen to music the entire year, but certainly during the 3 weeks, and series over, but during the 3 weeks, when we're commemorating the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, let us at least remember and before Shulchan Aruch and Tavkuf Samuch and not listen to music. And if that's true, so now one has to start to kvetch out, what did Rav Moshe mean? Did he mean no music at all? We'll see in a moment, somebody did kvetch out what Rav Moshe really meant by this. But certainly, for that reason alone, there shouldn't be music. So forget about what the Magen Avraham said. That's not as important as Rav Moshe's yesod over here of saying, listen, you're right, you listen to music the whole year, you do it, it's good, but during the 3 weeks, at least that time, to commemorate a Meforish Halach and Shulchan Aruch, I don't think you should do it. Now, what could one argue clearly? I do hold for the Shulchan Aruch. It's called the Ramah, who disagrees, and on a Beis HaMishta, I never listen to music on a Beis HaMishta, unless it's a Tzarf Mitzvah. Again, you understand what this means? This means that if you went to a concert, right, I don't know if there's such a thing, but you go to a concert, right, especially if it's not Jewish music, and at the concert, they're serving wine and beverages and things like that, that's a problem, according to the Rama. So we're Mako.
So can you go to Mike's place?
I used Doghouse, I thought that was a better example, but okay, fine. Yeah, Mike's place. So Mike's place is live music and they serve drinks. Yeah. Right. It's mutter. It's funny, because there's a Rambam, a first Rambam, which talks about something else called Mesibas Akum, which Mike's place doesn't have a problem. But Mesibas Akum is a party of the non-Jews. So the Rambam seems to be referring to Stam going to a bar. The Rambam seems to aser a place where Goyim drink. You really shouldn't be there. This is the whole argument about drinking together with non-Jews anytime. We don't have time now to discuss it, but the Rambam there seems to aser Mesibas Akum, right? Which would be maybe even a holiday party. You shouldn't go to a holiday party because there's drinking there, right? So some people say, well, it's not a mesiba really. It's not so good. What would be mutter, l'kuliyama lo pligi, if there's Jews there? So Rabbi Willick had a funny line he used to say. A lot of guys, the frumer guys in YU, so they take out their, I don't know why, but in the yeshivish world, what do you do for a date? For a shidduch date? You go to a hotel, which I always thought was a funny, just like, you know, if you were trying to explain this to the Goyim. Like, so what do you do on dates? Because, you know, you don't touch girls and all that stuff. We go to a hotel. We're like, huh? What? Yeah. Okay, so they go to a hotel. So I went out with a girl who was a little firmer than for my own taste. But people said, shtark, da-da-da, whatever, fine. So we went to the Marriott Marquis, right on 42nd Street. It was like the place to go, all the yeshivish people. So they have this beautiful, I don't remember what floor it was, where it goes around in a circle. You ever heard about this? It's fairly cool. It goes around in a circle. So every 20 minutes, you get to look out and see the beautiful skyline because your chair is moving around. It's really cool. And Kedarka Bakoydish, they probably hate the Jews there because nobody orders anything. Nobody orders real drinks, certainly. It's like a bar almost. And people order, you know, can I have a seltzer, please? And she'll have an orange juice. You know, we don't order anything. It's probably annoying for them, I would assume. So isn't that Mesibas Sakas? So Rabbi Willick said, yeah, I think it is, except on Thursday nights. On Thursday nights, there are more Jews there than anybody else because everybody's going out on dates Thursday nights. So that's probably true. It's probably true. I only went there once. Anyway, so according to this Rav Moshe, maybe you could tie in that this really makes sense not to listen to music. Because we should do something to remember what the original halacha was, not to listen to music during the whole year. Okay? Good? I have to admit, source number 7 is really just more of a joke. I don't like to quote tshuvas as a joke, but this really is a difficult thing to understand. This is the tshuva of Dayan Weiss. The Midrash Yitzchak, Rav Yitzchak Weiss, was the Dayan of the Eidah Haredes, the head of the Eidah Haredes in Eretz Yisrael, and he writes, Hinezeh, Ein Suffolk, the Minuk Shaloli, the Ta'arik, the Klei Shizemer, the Mea Sfira, not to listen to music during Sfira. The Godo Kochamid, it's a Minuk Yisrael that was established. There's nothing to discuss over here. Okay? You can tell me, well, today, it doesn't matter. Maybe you was a toast. Maybe you made a mistake. You didn't know. You didn't come to Rabbi Hartstein Shir. But you were ready for years having to listen to music during Sfiras Omer, during the 3 weeks. So he says, that Taurus Minuk. What would we say you need in order to... You need that Taurus Adar, maybe. But he says, Betachlis, guess what, guys? He says, it's so strong, the Minuk, ready for this? Dinogea Isidaraisa, Kamo Neder. He says, you didn't make a nether. Your parents made a nether. Your grandparents made a nether. Nobody listens to music during Sfira, during the 3 weeks. And therefore, what says the Minchas Yitzchak? It's Aser Midaraisa, because it's Taurus Neder. So I don't understand why can't you just have Taurus Neder then? I made a mistake. I didn't know that this was incorrect halacha. Rav Shechter points out that there is a machlokes, a three-way machlokes, Rav Shechter says, about what's the mitzvah of giving miser. Right? You will all make a ton of money on the books and off the books, right? What happens this Sunday? Do you get the money or not? They give you tips this Sunday? Hello? Anybody home?
Yeah.
They give you tips this Sunday. Okay.
Yes.
Right. So now what happens? You get money this Sunday, I hope, in Mitzvah Shem by you. And you have to give Meister on that money. It's no Shiloh, even though it's not taxable because it was cash. Right. You have to give Meister, 10%. So the question is, what's the chiyuv of Meister? Right? So one could argue, like you Nebuch kids, right? You're going to say, so I made on tips, it's going to be a fun game because we're going to have this game come Monday. Right, Sunday we're not going to have Shira, obviously, because it's a visiting day. So Monday we're going to come in and we're going to see who got more. We're going to have a chart. We'll see who made more money. We had this last year.
Sure.
What? What?
Okay,
we could, but nobody's going to come. Come on, let's be honest. So nobody likes me.
How much
so,
is 200 zuz nowadays?
What?
How much is 200 zuz nowadays?
200 zuz nowadays? I don't know. $20,000? I don't know.
$20,000?
I don't know. Why?
I want to see if I
qualify. Oh, no. So the Shiloh is, maybe you're going to tie in that you're poor. Right? How much are you going to make? Tafels and tips. I don't know. $1,000. Am I wrong?
$1,500?
Shekel?
Depends.
Thank God none of my kids are on your bunk. You make nothing for me. What? Right. Nine. Okay, whatever it might be. So let's say on the low side, you're a Nebuch, you made $1,000. So you have to give Meiser. You have to give Meiser. How much is Meiser? 10%. So you have $100 to stock of your choice. Right? So Rav Shechter asks, what's the chiyuv? Chiyuv be daraisa? Aser ta aser. Is that a mitzvah daraisa? Mistama, no. There are very few, but there are a few Rishonim who say that. It's midrabanan. Midrabanan. We want to commemorate whether it's Maisa Rishon, it's probably not, it's probably Maisa Sheni. We want to remember. So we give. However, there's a third shita that says, no, it's a minog ba'alma. So he says, what happens, unfortunately? The kid becomes bar mitzvah. The first one of the first mitzvahs he does is Meiser. Why? Because his parents say to him, knew you made bar mitzvah money. Unlike my friend. He's actually coming visiting day. When we were bar mitzvah age, so we had this discussion, I remember. I hope it wasn't Shabbos, it probably was. One day. And we discussed who made more money. So it was all based on what car would you have been able to buy in those days, right? Those are the days the Lexus had just come out. And one guy, you know, five towns guys. So one guy was like, Lexus, yeah, for sure. I can get a BMW. You know, the people did really well. And then one guy all of a sudden says, I can't buy anything. They're like, why? So my parents took away all my bar mitzvah money. Why? So my parents came to me and they said, how much money did you make? I'm just making up. I made $15,000 of my mitzvah. They said, okay, now you can start paying back all the money that you owe us for eating in our house. This is not good. And we need a new refrigerator and we need a new oven. And they took all of his money away. But the parents teach the bar mitzvah boy, give Meiser money. And you see this now, cute things now in the newspaper. Oh, look what Shlomi did for his bar mitzvah. He gave money to him. And, you know, gets a picture. Okay, fine. Very nice. So Rav Shechter says it's too bad that the parents don't say, by the way, this is just a minhag, because if they did what they said it was a minhag, because like, I'm not giving any money. He thinks it's just a minhag. So he said, but you could do hataras nedar. I don't know. So to the minhag Yitzchak here says, it's b'tayrus mamish neder, blushon neder, obviously he says, is the poskim well codified in the Chasam Sofer and the Maharan and the Ran and the Darim. Shosha makabel of mitzvah havei mina Torah tichesiv mificha something comes zod saka makabel so on and so forth. He accepts for future generations as well. Okay, interesting. Turn this side. Now we get to okay. Now you know about music. Is there any hetero for different things like non-live music? Right. For just stay with me. We're going to call this tape music for now. Because that's the lushan that I remember. That's what I call it. We used to have tape recorders. Tape music. Comes along with Tzitz Eliezer. And he quotes what happened in the invention of the phonograph. What did you call it last time? The gramophone. The pitophone, as he called it. Pitone. Right? Which was the first invention of tape music. Which came out around 1877. So you're not going to see a tshuva before that about this. Where they came out with tape music. Not live music. Right? It was like the big craze. I hate to say this, but even when I was a kid, we used to listen to something called records. It was unbelievable. And then they came out with tapes, and it was unbelievable. Right? And then CDs, you're like, wow, this is, like, the music was, tape's not such a good quality. Now the quality is unbelievable. Although I think we've moved, maybe I'm wrong about this, I think we've moved away from great quality, because a lot of people show me that they have playlists, right? My daughter, for example, when we went up to camp, so we rented this car, a van, that had something called Bluetooth, you know what this is? No, so right, and you could just, right, somebody in the back seat can play all the music. It was cool. And we don't have this in Israel. We not make these cars like this now. Yes. So so she was playing. I said, where do you get all this music from? It's great music. She says, yeah, I just download it from YouTube. Right, I guess, as I said, maybe it's illegal, I don't know. You download it and you're doing it on the whatever. So I said, the quality was just as good. So why do I need to buy the CD? It's better quality. I don't know if we care about quality so much. So comes along and sits Eliezer and he says he was asked this question. It was asked us in a different way, and that is as follows. There is also a Isser on the books, I've never seen this ever performed, but apparently this is true, that in Yerushalayim, certainly in the old city of Yerushalayim, you're not allowed to play instruments. Some say that it's mutter to play the drums, but musical instruments, to remind ourselves of the musical instruments that are played in the Beis HaMikdash, we don't do that. Now, I'll be honest with you, I've been to so many weddings in Yerushalayim, I've never been to one where they had this emina established. In fact, I was just at a mamish, like 3 weeks ago. I was at the Kotel, and it was Bar Mitzvah Day, Thursday, 11 o'clock in the morning. I don't know why, you know, they allow. I mean, I guess we dive at 11 o'clock, so I guess it's mother. So they are having a Bar Mitzvah there, and this family, obviously, was quite wealthy. They had a full band at the Bar Mitzvah. Mamish were at the Kotel, at the Rechavat Kotel. And they have a klezmer guy, and a saxophone guy, and a guy with, they're playing the Mamish by the walls. It's interesting. Nobody really complained about it. I thought it was a little strange to try to sit there and daven to Hashem, and they're singing all these songs. Okay, fine. So he was asked the following question, source number 8. Hine l'dati yesh chilak v'hu im hashira v'azmir sheshomei mahem heima shira v'zimra v'pumi zot omeret masha anoshim shashomim etocha mishirat. He's saying, well, what kind of music are we talking about? Maybe you're going to tie it to me that music that's taped is different than live music, or music that just comes out of your mouth is different. And maybe you're going to tie it to me that a tape recorder is kezemer bekli? It's like a kli, it's like an instrument? Ha'im yesh mamish kedin zemer bekli shir kamo kinors? Are you going to tell me a tape recorder is like a harp? It's like a violin? It's like a guitar? The Nafkamina is going to be in Yerushalayim, and obviously the Nafkamina for us is going to be during the 3 weeks and Sefiras Omer. Hine, he said, Marko Hashir, all this, and tape, Hu Mishir V'Zimra B'Pet Mutter. B'Zeh Novem Yimeshe Kulhu Mikli. We know that regular music of the pet would be normally Mutter. However, he says, I don't even have to comment on this, because the Shlomo Chaim, the famous Rav of Yerushalayim, Rav Yosef Chaim Zannenfeld, had this minhag Yerushalayim chal gam al hagramophone. It also did not allow, in those days, tape music, a tape recorder, a boombox. In our days, the DJ. Right? And we know the DJ's music can be even better. Nowadays, it's becoming more and more popular. for people to move towards DJs. They don't even need bands anymore because the music is so good with the way that they're able to synthesize the sound. I'm not sure you need the live band anymore. It's a little bit cheaper anyway. So he says, he asserted it. So who am I to say that it's mutter? What does that lead us to believe? It's considered to be like live music, and therefore it's asser. And in fact, he doesn't write this, but I'll tell you probably the strictest source. Rav Menashe Klein, the Mishnah Halachos, writes that a tape recorder is an instrument. Tape recorder, the right? So let's take our modern day, whatever you have, your boombox, your you know, little wireless speaker. What's that thing called? The Amazon Echo. The Echo, even though you got speakers, all that's considered to be a instrument. It doesn't look like a musical instrument. It's a musical instrument nowadays, he says, and therefore, of course, it's going to be usher to play that during any other time. However, others disagree. We'll get to that in a moment. But he seems to say that it should be usher. Would be worse. Yeah. Yeah, Mistoma, you're right. Because here, everybody agrees Shira Bepe would be mutter. So if you, and again, when we talk about a cappella music, there are three types of a cappella music that I'm aware of. One would be the typical a cappella music where a bunch of guys get together. You see this in the Hasidic world. It's very popular. It's become now popular at modern Orthodox weddings, where they have 10 Hasidic guys together, and they're from the Yoli group, and they sing die, 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 and everybody loves it. Okay. That's number one. And that is a cappella, Shmo Kenu. Then they made an a cappella where they taped it, right? And then they made an a cappella where you have, you know, all this different synthesization or whatever. And it could be even a fourth level where it's really music, but it's not actually instruments. It's synthesized music. All these things are very questionable. The actual chazan that gets up there and does, so everybody says that that's allowed. So I'm not sure. So he says that he thinks that tapes are also, even if it's on the radio, he writes, he thinks that that's also. V'chein, the Marshag, the Yad Yitzchak, quoting the name of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach in something called the Kobetz Beis Aaron of Yisrael, says that this would be usher. In fact, the Stipler told his children, only sing, even bepeh, should only be done on Shabbos Kodesh. I believe we saw, we'll quote in the name of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, that the Yalkut Yosher quotes in the name of Truva Sadeshan, he would even sing Eliyahu Hanavi. Let's not talk about our Havdalah now, because according to this, it certainly would be problematic. Then there's a very interesting machlekes. New tachlis. Who came up with a cappella? Is a cappella mutter or not? Where does it come from, a cappella? I don't get it. So we should agree for a moment that anything that leads to rikudim would appear to be asur. I don't understand what the heter would be because that's the actual isser over here. So I saw an article that writes, there's a very interesting, he calls it a machlekes between Rav Yashav and Rav Yashav. And a machloek is between Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Right? What does he mean? He means different people say different things. None of them are alive today to know exactly. So they quote that Rav Yashav, I saw in one article, for sure said that it was Asar. And Rav Shlomo Zalman said, for sure it's Asar. Then his grandson, Rav Shlomo Zalman's grandson, has Shlomo Moed, which is attributed to the name of Rav Shlomo Zalman. All these svarim came out afterwards, attributed. Ali Cheshlomo is really from the family, and he got all the haskamas in that sefer of all the, Rav Shlomo Zalman Nechemiah Goldberg, Rav Azriel Auerbach, Rav Shmuel Auerbach. I think he has more of a Michtav Bracha. There's a funny story. There's a great sefer out there, Ve'alei Lo Yuval. It tells stories about Rav Shlomo Zalman. I don't know how exactly this story happened. Certainly, we know with the Lubavitcher Rebbe, you have this a lot where they videotaped a lot of the people who went. So this guy, I don't know how he was able to. He was like there all the time when people would ask questions. So he'd write down the questions that people asked and the answers. So I've never seen this before, you know, in Haskamas. This is why Haskamas are important to actually read. So the Haskamas from his children actually say, do not publish the Sefer. The Sefer is also to publish. And he put it in. They're not really, right? So if I opened the Sefer and I looked at, oh, look, Rav Israel Auerbach gave a Haskama. No, he didn't. He wrote, don't write the book. Why did he write that? Because they said, you're going to go ahead and misinterpret. You don't know who this guy, Rav Shlomo Zalman knew who the guy was, and he gave him a heter in a certain state. He says, it's not good to quote the stories that happened. And in fact, there's a lot of footnotes in that Sefer. Rav Nevensal says there's no way this story ever happened. No way Rav Shlomo Zalman held this way. It's quite interesting. So over here, he says that in that Sefer, I think his name is Rav Tuvia Freund, so he writes in page number 453 that Rav Shlomo Zalman said that it's mutter. to have a cappella music. One or more voices would be mutter. Now, this is, I'm talking about now, he didn't say anything about musical accompaniment. And others say, yeah, that's what Rav Shlomo Zalman, I'm sorry, that's what Rav Yashav said. And in fact, there's a famous Rav, his name is Rav Morgenstern, who's alive today, said, he asked Rav Yashav, not that many years ago, he's still alive, and he said, no, a tape is an instrument, like that Mishnah Halachos that we learned. And therefore, it's usher to listen to a tape on, right, or CD, it's usher during the 3 weeks, it's considered to be sheer, and it's usher, even though others, right? I can't help you here. It's clear that there are other poskim which we have to discuss because we maybe even ascribe to this, and that's why they played here in the dining room. Like Rabbi Willig and others, I can just quote it because I know Rabbi Willig for sure says this, I think Rav Schacht as well, says, where'd you get this issur from? Live music is because of a chumrah based on the Magen Avraham, who was talking about getting up and dancing, and if you know that it's not going to lead you, you can listen to all types of music privately. Even by Avelis, there are poskim who allow it as well. And say, you're not getting up and dancing to this music. Now, one could argue that that's not true if you, let's say you had a situation where, I know this is weird, I don't know if this makes sense to anybody here. Let's say you had a dining room, okay, and the dining room played a cappella music all the time. But it's fast music. And all of a sudden, let's say there's like an announcer, a guy that like gets up there and loves Hashem all the time, right? And he gets up there and the announcer says, what? Let's go, everybody, get up on your chairs, let's sing. That, right, and people start dancing, that's usher. That would be usher, right? There's no, you can't tie, okay, you're going to tell me the mitzvah chinuch, Shua is going to say it's chinuch, it's al tzkiruva, okay. I don't think it would be mutter. The last two tshuvas that we do, in Tchumim, there's an article about this whole inyan, which one could read if they wanted to, a very nice, beautiful article by Rav Shlomo Develsky, and there he says, in the name of his Rav Shabtai Rappaport, the grandson of Rav Moshe Feinstein, who says, Shamati mi harav Shabtai Rappaport, this is in source number 10, my kids go to yeshiva called Rappaport, Abbot Yisrael, his wife started it in Yerushalayim, and they brought it to Rav Api Chemish, b'shem ziknu ha'gadim Rav Moshe Feinstein, lahatir shmios musical reka, background music, b'mei b'nei mitzrayim, haina musical, sheshamei ha'adam, l'toch shehu, osnek b'malachto, lomar l'nog, I need it. I would say for sure it's mitzvah to go to the health club. It's a mitzvah midaraisa v'shamartim esnatz reseichem, the mitzvah of chaybahem. A person's running; he can't run stam without listening to music. And you're going to listen to slow music the whole time. He won't be able to run. I think that's mutter. It's not leading to him to dance. It's helping him to be able to exercise. And definitely, he writes Rav Develsky, if it's menuchas hanefesh, that's also mutter. It puts you in the right state. You're in a bad mood. That's mutter. Or, as Rav Shlomo Zalman here writes in source number 11, Elicha Shlomo, Kol Shira Hamu'urot Lirkod Umachalo, Aval Shira Hamu'uremet Et Ha'adam. It's going to put you in a good state to think about Yerushalayim. You're going to listen to the Turachim, you listen to Yerushalayim Yircha. That's the whole point of this time. Of course you should listen to music like that. Although, he points out in the footnote, as I said to you before, this would include chazanis and classic music, but the Yaakov Yosher was machmir based on the Truma Sadesh and not singing Eliyahu Navi, even on Moshe Shabbos. Very interesting. Yotze Midvareinu, and this will end with, is that, I don't know what to tell you. If you hold from the isser of listening to music, you think that music is usher during the 3 weeks, I think there's no difference of a cappella. However, I ascribe to the school of thought, which I know is not the majority, and this is the area, although my kids generally think I'm very machmir when it comes to the halachas of the house. I am the posik of my house, although I ask other posikim, but I always say, I'm the posik, I'm the one who's going to decide. And then my son will say, my little kid, Avishai, will say, but Abba, you're not a rabbi. I'm like, I am a rabbi. He's like, no, you're not. I said, why am I not a rabbi? He says, you don't have a beard. I said, I'm growing a beard now. It's for 3 weeks. Good. Okay. So I think personally that listening to music, I'm talking now only about Jewish music, even if it's fast music, but it has Jewish words in it, nothing better than that. I don't have a problem with it. If it's taped, you're listening to it by yourself, not with the echo, not with the speaker where everybody's listening to it. I don't like that. But if you're listening to it privately, you're listening to the car so you don't fall asleep, it's a mitzvah mamish, I don't think any of this stuff is usher really. You're right, the Olam has become machmir. I don't know. I understand the reasoning. I see that the poskim say this, and the Minchas Chizik want to say it's a poritz going to be poritz gether. It's an isodaraisa of a neder. I don't know if we go that far, if we really accept it upon ourselves this. The bottom line is, because this will be a last year about the halachas of the three, the bottom line, Rabbi Isai, let us be very sensitive to the fact that we're in the 3 weeks. So we should do something that we realize. So if you want to ask her listening to English music during this time, secular music, that's a good thing to help you concentrate. And this week you're going to force yourself to only listen to Jewish music. That probably would be a good thing to do, and I think you could find plenty of Teirim to be able to do that.